One of the topics that the Church Universal handles, at least in my opinion, rather poorly, maybe it's your opinion too, is the topic of money, stewardship, and giving. Some churches overemphasize the topic, asking for money on a regular basis and kind of turning people off by doing so. How many have heard that statement? All the church wants is my money. You ever heard that? Yeah. Other churches ignore the topic altogether and thereby rob their people of the blessing of blessing others. Our annual business meeting, as I mentioned a little bit ago in the announcements, is happening next Sunday on December 6th, following the end of the service on that day. And I want to be sure that we are an educated church and prepared for this meeting. And we'll look at some membership updates as part of that meeting. We will deal with the installation of ministry leaders and the affirmation of other leaders within the church. And we will deal with the annual budget of the church. And I want to take this opportunity to present sort of a detailed look at Western Mountains Baptist Church proposed budget for 2021. So let me start by saying this. To those of you who have faithfully supported the church with your tithes and your offerings through such a bizarre year as we have had so far in 2020, thank you. Thank you. Quite frankly, financially, this has been the best year of our existence here at WMBC. And let me also be candid about what the future holds. Many of the old ways of doing ministry are going to need to be adjusted to deal with some of the new realities of a world still in a pandemic. But I think we can, together, with God's help, figure some things out and continue to do the work that God has placed before us. I'm a firm believer if God is calling us to it, He will equip us through it, right? And one of the things I hope that we all see as we kind of go through the budget is this. What will each of us individually, what will our roles be in accomplishing God's will, God's way, through the vehicle of Western Mountains Baptist Church this year? As part of the body of Christ, what will our role be? Because we all have roles to play. See 1 Corinthians 12, see Romans 12, see Ephesians 4. So to prepare us, I want to look at how God has directed this church in developing the ministries that we do, the ministries we support, and the general work that we try to accomplish to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And I hope what we see at the end of the day is a kingdom-focused church. Are we an informed church? Do we know what we are supporting with our tithes and our offerings each Sunday as we put those as we put our offerings in these boxes? I want to be sure that we are a people that is not blindly giving kind of out of duty or obligation. I want us to be informed, and I want us, frankly, to be excited about giving. Why? Because God is also interested in a cheerful giver. It says so in His Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, where Paul writes this, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." I hope that's you this morning. My goal is to help us see God's hand in the work of the church so that we will gladly sow bountifully and therefore also reap bountifully. Now, to get there, I think it's important to once again kind of lay the foundation for cheerful giving. And I believe this foundation is in where we got what we got. Where we got what we got. And to do this, what better place to start than in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. I'm going to look at the first chapter, the first verse. which says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we know that if we were to read on, Moses would fill in the details of the 6 days of creation. But the fact is this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He did not piece them together out of other things. There was no materials lists. Out of nothing, God made the heavens and the earth. He spoke the world into existence. King David gives us some of the highlights for us of all of this in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 16. I think it's one of the most beautiful kind of praises, prayers, whatever you want to call it, that David has put together. That's considering even all the Psalms. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 16. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours." It's a prayer from King David. And David gives glory to God for all David has and all his people have, and for all that God has done and for all that God will do. And David says, everything that is in the heavens and the earth are of your making. You are head over all. Riches and honor come from you. Let's boil that down. What does that mean for us? It means that the skills and the talents that you have been blessed with to do your job, that came from God. That came from God. Well, we want to take the credit for being awesome, but David has just clearly shown us where it all comes from. In your hand, O God, is power and might. In your hand lies the ability to make great and strengthen everyone. And then did you notice this? David does this interesting thing. He humbles himself. He says, "Who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you." Friends, we know who David is, right? David was the king. He's the king. It does not get any higher on this earth than being the king. Yet he humbles himself before an almighty God. This abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it's all in your hand and all is yours. King David boils this all down for us. So simple, really. It's all God's, but God willingly provides for his people. And we see this kind of restated for us really simply in Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it." Simple. Well, If you got a bulletin this morning, you also got a copy of our proposed budget, the one we'll vote on at our annual business meeting next week. Keep in mind that it is a draft because our church leadership team will look at this on Tuesday night and possibly make adjustments. But that's what came out of the trustees meeting last week. Again, it may get adjusted a little bit. I don't think much. If you didn't get one, put your hand up, and I bet Dean will take care of you there if anybody needs one. Anybody? Everybody good. Everybody's good. You're all right, Dean. The first expense category you're going to see on that on page one is for Sunday school. We provide or intend to provide, when the pandemic is back under control, Sunday school for kids as young as 3 years old up through adulthood, us old people. The funds designated in these lines are used to provide materials to assist the teachers. So look with me at 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, which says this: "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So the funding in this category helps to equip our teachers so that they can teach others, just as Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is encouraging Timothy. And then Romans 12, verse 2 is another basis for this kind of ministry, and it reads like this. Romans 12, 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." The Apostle Paul is describing for us the critical nature of the sanctification process, right? The being made holy process. Paul tells us one way we can be changed is by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are renewed by seeking a greater understanding of our Creator, the Father, or by seeking a greater understanding of our Savior, Jesus Christ, by seeking a greater understanding of our Helper, the Holy Spirit, right? And one purpose in this renewing of our minds is so that we will not, that we cannot be deceived by the great deceiver, the evil one, Satan, but instead we will know what the will of God is, what is perfect, what is acceptable to Him. This same passage of Scripture is applicable to the Bible studies line in our budget, which is used for a number of Bible studies throughout the week. And these studies, they're all listed in the bulletin. It's also applicable to the purchase of the Daily Bread devotionals. By the way, we have the new ones out on the table. Feel free to take one on your way out. It's applicable to our children's church, our men's ministry, our women's ministry, our vacation Bible school, and to our youth group. All of those are areas where people are being educated by the way of the Word. And also to train those who teach, this passage is also applicable to the line item called ministry training. These ministries all look to apply this concept of renewing our minds so that we will know what the will of God is. Look with me now at Mark 9, verses 36 and 37. We were here not that long ago in our Mark series. It says this: "Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me.'" See, Jesus in this passage quickly gives us a sense of the importance of children in these verses. In our study of the Gospel of Mark, we have seen this actually a couple times now, and I believe one of the signs of a healthy church is the presence of children with their families. And this budget highlights this importance with Sunday school for the school-age children, children's church, nursery, vacation Bible school, and youth group. Maintaining and growing the ministries that serve our children is critical to the health of any church. And maybe you've heard people say that the children are the future of the church. I believe that they are an important part of the present state of the church as well, right? And hopefully we can ramp these ministries back up and soon, right? I miss them. And look with me now at back in Romans chapter 12 in verse 15. This verse says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." This verse is the very basis for the cards line. The church sends out cards to rejoice with you on your birthday or to weep with you on your birthday, depending on how old you are. Nothing? Tough crowd. We also send out cards to weep with you as maybe you go through an illness or a surgery or a tragedy such as a death of a loved one in your family. Let me say this kind of a little bit of an aside. Please do not rely upon the cards ministry to do what we can do individually as well, right? We've got people that in our lives that are hurting. Let's reach out. Make a phone call, send a card. Be a presence in their life. Do the same on the rejoicing side. You know, don't have a spirit of jealousy, but instead one that encourages when somebody has some successes to rejoice with them. Look with me now at Galatians 6, verse 2, which reads like this: "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." We've got a couple of line items that do this pretty well. The first one is bridging the gap. As we meet the needs of the elderly and shut-ins by providing a once-a-month meal to them. And this ministry also gives some social interaction as well. As these people deliver meals to these folks, they get to spend a few minutes with them and let them know that they're loved and cared for. The service ministry line is also a strong example of bearing one another's burdens by helping with things like preparing wood for the winter, splitting, stacking, all of those things, roof shoveling, light carpentry, and other items like this that the service ministry has taken on over the years. In fact, we've got a move that we need to do this afternoon to move somebody in strong. Just little things like that that help people feel cared for, and it's bearing a burden that somebody can't bear on their own. Also, the benevolence line is used to help bear one another's burdens by helping maybe pay bills that someone cannot afford to pay on their own. And are you in need? Call the deacon of the month and let us have that opportunity to lend a hand. The support that this budget gives to places like the New Hope Women's Shelter, Teen Challenge, and new this year, the Free Street Church in Skowhegan is also an example of helping bear burdens for others who cannot carry the load completely themselves. Look with me now at Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. Matthew 25, 37 to 40. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." So again, bridging the gap and the prison ministry line relate directly to this passage, don't they? And bridging the gap is now serving over 60 meals on the last Sunday of each month. I think you've topped out at what, 70? 68. So that's just awesome. And there's more to be done in the prison ministries, but Dale has already been a presence in Franklin and Somerset County jails, and we hope to be back in these two facilities when the opportunity arises. And we've been working with the Maine Prisoner Reentry Network to find opportunities that we might be able to plug into to help those who have done their time and desire to become productive members of the society once again, right? Church has a role in that. Look with me now at Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the remotest parts of the earth. See, these are the words that are spoken by Jesus to his disciples just before his ascension. And this is one of his charges to the apostles and to all believers. And it's fulfilled in part by our CD ministry. The CDs of each sermon are sent all over the country. And I know for a fact that at least some of these CDs are then shared a second and a third time with others beyond the initial recipient. We also accomplish this through short-term missions, sending some of our people out to go and to be his witnesses beyond Franklin and Somerset counties. We've sent people to Haiti. We've sent people to Kenya. We've sent people just across state lines to help with building construction projects. New this year is a presence on YouTube with weekly sermons. I have no idea how far that's traveling, but I know the potential for global reach with this media is astounding. What can we do to increase our presence? Our support of the Maine Baptist Association guarantees that the churches in Maine have the resources they need to reach their communities and the communities near to them, right? Their own Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea. Our support of the Baptist Convention of New England, or BCNE, supports the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention, which supports missionaries literally all over the world, both in North America and internationally. Well, Jesus also gave his disciples this charge found in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, which read like this. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So much of what we do as the body of Christ is wrapped up in this Great Commission. This concept of mission work can be summed up in the very first word of verse 19, right? Go. And we are sending in many ways. And we're also working hard at the remaining pieces of the Great Commission. We are making disciples or students through all of the teaching ministries that we've already highlighted this morning, right? Sunday school, children's church, men's ministry, women's ministry, VBS, youth group. Disciple making is happening in all of these places. We are baptizing. This year to date, we've baptized, I believe, 4 people. Now, maybe that doesn't sound like many, but it's greater than the New England average for churches of our size. Going also looks like what we hope to do at Kingfield Days and the Kingfield Pops, where we're going to be a presence for God in our communities. And hopefully by doing this, we are earning the invitation to have the conversation. Same story for the family fair and the cabin fever reliever. These are all being funded by the special events line this year. And please, do not miss this. We just read the Great Commission, right? We know that we do not go in our own strength. The Great Commission ends this way, "But lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We do all this not in our own wit and wisdom, but in the power and the wisdom of Christ, with the Helper, the Holy Spirit, guiding us along the way. Look with me now at Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25, which reads like this. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Does anybody else see the day drawing near? Man, it's one of my favorite verses in Scripture because it makes it so clear, at least to me, that Christianity, Christ following, is supposed to be lived out in community. Both verses 24 and 25 emphasize the importance of other believers in our lives. We're called to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How can we do that sitting home alone? We are to assemble together for the purpose of encouragement, the building up of the body. How can we do that if we're all by ourselves? Can't be done. The fellowship ministry is clearly directed to bring us together for the purpose of building relationships and giving us opportunity to stimulate each other to love and good deeds. We meet together at least once per week, like we're doing right now. And for some of us, it's more than that, so that we can encourage one another, so that we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. In this Sunday morning service, right, the intent is to encourage and to teach and to worship and praise our God and King, right? And line items such as the praise team music, our technical line item, which is basically our audio and visual component, and worship supplies, all of those are there to enhance this experience. And many of the items on the back page of that budget are also intended to make this experience a good one for all who attend and for anyone who comes into this building during the week for other events. We keep the lights on. Everybody warm this morning? We keep the heat on. We keep the building clean thanks to some awesome volunteers. We keep the grass mowed. We pay the insurance in case of property damage. We keep the parking lot plowed and sanded in the winter. We pay our mortgage. We have a phone so the public can call and get information about who we are and what we do. We have an internet connection so that we can be online, all of those types of things. In fact, I thought it'd be a good idea if we walked through a typical week here at Western Mountains Baptist Church. It starts on Sunday morning at about 8 o'clock when the praise team and technical folks come to practice for the regular service. And then before COVID and hopefully after COVID, we'll have a 9 a.m. Sunday school for anyone from 3 years old up through us old people when again, there's no fear of COVID. And our regular service begins at 10 a.m. or something close to that. Sometimes we have a special study on Sunday evenings. We've done a study on Islam. We've done a study on Israel. And I know we will do more in the future. On Monday, the men meet for a Bible study at 6:30, usually till about 8 o'clock. Tuesday mornings, a group meets, a group of ladies meet. Doesn't have to be just ladies, all right? You take a man to come and learn to sew, wouldn't you, Kathy? Kathy helps some ladies learn to sew. Some of them are actually already pretty proficient. It's more of a fellowship time where they can get together and do that. Every other Tuesday, we have either a pastor, elders, and deacons meeting or our church leadership team meeting. Wednesday mornings, a group of women meet for Bible study at 9 a.m. Thursday nights, when they're able, the youth group typically meets here at 6 o'clock. On every other Saturday, the women's ministry group meets at 1 in the afternoon. On Saturdays at 3, a group comes together and meets for prayer. They pray for this service. They pray for our communities. They pray for other area churches and whatever other specific needs come to this group. On the first Saturday of the month, the men meet for breakfast. On the last Saturday of the month, Bridging the Gap prepares and delivers meals, using the church as its home base. I personally try to be here in my office on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as well as Wednesday mornings while the women are having their Bible study. I'm sometimes here on portions of Mondays and Fridays, and call me anytime for an appointment and I will try to make that happen. My point, This building is under continuous use throughout the week, and the operating expenses allow this to happen seamlessly. One of the significant line items in the budget is the payroll expense. And since I'm the only paid person here at Western Mountains, this line item goes mostly to me, which is an embarrassing thing to talk about, but I can't ignore that. This line includes this year a 5% wages increase over last year, and I want to personally thank the trustees for their vote of confidence for that. And for justification on all of that, let's look at 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18. 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of a double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." So next week, you all get to decide if I should be considered worthy of a double honor. Do you think that I work hard at preaching and teaching? Well, this gets us through most of the budget. It's a faith-based budget, meaning that we are, by faith, assuming some growth, both numerically and financially. And therefore, it's important to understand what we do and why we do it. It's much easier, I think, to stand behind a purpose driven church, and our purpose is to be a kingdom-focused church. So let me close with this challenge, and it's not a challenge that I made up. God already stated it. I'm just sharing it with you, and it's found in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, which read like this. "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, 'How have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Isn't that beautiful? The people of Malachi's day, see, they were asking for God's blessing, yet they were not acting in obedience to God by giving back the tithe. Remember who owns it all? Right. So this isn't giving the tithe, it's giving back the tithe. And God, through Malachi, asked the question, "Will a man rob God?" Are we robbing God by our lack of obedience in our giving? And then the best part, bring the whole tithe, just so people know what that is. It's 10% of the first fruits into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And here's my favorite part. And test me now in this. Test me. God doesn't do that very often. In fact, I think this is it. Right here. Hear me. God, the same God of Malachi's day, and God's the same today, yesterday, and forever, God says this, "Test me now in this. Bring the whole tithe and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." And then God continues in verse 11 and 12. "Not only will I bless you, but I will also protect you." Do you notice that? God promises to rebuke the devourer. That's Satan, in case you were wondering. "So that he will not destroy the fruit of our labor. We just spent the morning looking at all the labor we intend to do at this church throughout 2021, through all these ministries. Our hope is that Satan will not destroy this fruit. And he says, all the nations will call you blessed. See, as God does all this for those within the family, will it not become evident and obvious that good things are happening within the body of Christ? Will it not become obvious that God is at work in His people? And think of the impact we could make, right? Even beyond what we already do. I really do think that the world will call us blessed and we would be a delightful land, for we will find ourselves in the center of God's will, following Him in obedience. See, I really think it comes down to really one thing when it comes down to giving and tithing. It's about humble obedience and faith. It's not about money. You think God needs your money? It's about humble obedience and faith. God is saying in this passage in Malachi, do you trust me to provide all your needs on 90% of your pay? Or would you rather live on 100% of your pay without my blessing? What will be our answer? Well, let me conclude with this. The purpose of this message is to first inform. I want us to all be aware of what we do as a church body with the funds that we all provide as part of our giving. But much more importantly, I want us to see that giving is something that God sees as important. For we are just stewards, right? We're just caretakers of what God has already given us. And this is what King David was telling us in 1 Chronicles this morning. It's what the psalmist told us. In fact, our sermon title is simply this: Who Owns It All? And I hope the answer is obvious. You already answered it for me once. God owns it all. So as we give back, God says, I will bless you to overflowing. I will protect you from the evil one. I will show you such favor that the community will see my favor on you and call you blessed. So take the challenge this coming year to support the work of the church and to see if God will not pour out blessings that you cannot even contain in your storehouse. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for their generosity. I thank you for their giving. I thank you for their support of the work that goes on here at Western Mountains Baptist Church. I thank you for what has been already accomplished, and man, I look forward to what you will do in the coming year. So Lord, I pray as we look through this budget, as we consider our annual meeting and all that needs to be done there, as we work through all the details of that, guide and direct our steps, Lord. Help our hearts to see what our mind already knows, that we are to be part of the solution, that each one of us has a role to play, whether that's through the tithes or the offerings, or whether it's through rolling up our sleeves and getting busy, whether it is being prayerful, praying for each of these ministries, Lord, as they move forward, whether it is whatever that involvement might be, Lord, I pray that you would show us, guide us, direct us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.